Hello, everyone. This is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show, and it is so good to be with each and every one of you. I am talking to you from Georgia, and we've had like 70-degree temperatures today. The windows are open, the doors are open, and the buds are coming out on all the trees, so I know. Absolutely beautiful. I have a wonderful guest with me this evening. She is my second youngest guest. My daughter was my first one, and her name is Alexandria Abrego. Is that correct, Alexandria?
Yes.
How are you?
Alexandra Villajoel Abrego. I'm very
good. Well, I'm doing just great. And you're up in Canada, is that correct?
I am. I'm in Montreal. I was hearing you talk about the weather here. It's very cold.
I know. I've heard there's snowstorms all over the country, and I'm sitting here with shorts on. You know, it's amazing. So
lucky you.
Well, it's such a blessing to have you as my guest this evening, Alexandria. And it's so wonderful. I know that. You know, one of the aspects that I was so intrigued with when I talked to you, you know, several weeks ago, was that, you know, when anyone is young, and you're very young, to have written your first book at 20 years old is a very amazing, because most kids are out drinking and doing drugs and running around and doing all that kind of stuff. So I was very impressed with that. Writing a book is not the easiest thing to do, and especially when you get to the editing stage. Let me just ask you, and I want to remind everybody that's listening, too, that we will be taking calls. Now, I'm not sure, Alexandria, do you do readings at all? Can you?
Not
do you,
really.
But, you like to take calls and talk to people,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Good. Okay. All right. So we, you know, I may do a reading here and there, and, you know, we can certainly talk about your book, but as well, because I want to find out, Alexandria, what happened in your life that made you want to write a book about your life at age 20. I mean, that was just a year ago. So, you know, what happened in your life?
Well, there's a lot of things that happen. I think that, with everything that I've been through in my life and my young age, that's what I thought brought me to wanting to write a book. It all really started when I was 18 years old. When I was 18 years old, I moved out of my parents' house. And I, you know, like you were talking before, like young people do, I was drinking a lot, partying a lot. And at some point, I just realized that it wasn't really what I wanted to do with my life. And I felt like I needed to do more and that I had a purpose. So I decided to really align my life with that purpose, and that purpose being to help people and to really empower people, especially young people. So that's why I'm also doing a high school tour and many other things besides the book.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, it's very important, because when you're in your high school years, it's been a while for me, Alexandra, I have to let you know. But, you know, they want to listen to somebody that's young, because they're thinking people my age don't really understand. You know, it's been too long for them. But now, let me ask you, what is the main, I know that I know what the chapters are, and I'll talk to you about that, but what is the main subject, if you may, of the book? What is the name of the book is Beyond Beauty, and I love that name. That's a wonderful. So what is the, if you were to just give us a paragraph of what Beyond Beauty is about, how would you describe your book?
Well, the subtitle of the book, you know, it's Beyond Beauty, but the subtitle of the book is The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Strong, Smart, and Beautiful Woman. The reason why I chose the name of Beyond Beauty is because I think that young ladies nowadays are really pressured to look a certain way and to be a certain way, and they often don't realize that it's not really about the beauty, you know, on the outside. It's really about how you are and you feel in the inside. So it's really being beyond the beauty that you see, you know, on the outside. So
that's
really
wonderful. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really empowering.
Do you talk about you know, so much about the PR that's out there with television and all the ways that the different magazines make women look? Is that, you know, do you talk about that in the book at all?
Talk about that. I don't talk about it a lot, because I think that we all know, you know, how the media is impacting
exactly.
Women.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that I had to talk about that too much. But the book is really about, it's 13 chapters. And in every chapter, it's how to really get your life together. When you have hit, you know, rock bottom in your life, how to get up from there and start building once again, you know, your life.
Yeah.
And start, you know, within your purpose. That's really what it is.
Well, now you have a beautiful accent. Where are you from, Alexandra?
Well, I'm from. Well, I live in Montreal, Canada. My
Right.
parents are from Bolivia. It's
Oh,
in
okay.
South America. Yeah, exactly.
South
So,
America. Oh, wow! How beautiful, Bolivia. Is that right? Is that what I heard you say? Yes.
Yes,
It's
it's
you have
Bolivia.
such a beautiful accent. Now,
Thank you.
it's interesting because you're only 21, and have you always, the way that you're feeling about your self-esteem and, you know, we'll get to the book in a minute, but I just want to talk about you for a minute. When you were growing up, did you always just say, wow, I'm just great the way I am? Did you
Oh,
have
no.
issues? Well, you know, I figured not, or you wouldn't have written the book. So tell us a little bit about how you had to deal with issues of self-esteem and whatever that you ended up going through, some of your issues. And I'll talk about mine, too, because I had some, too. So,
yes. Well, I think that self-worth, I realize that it's something that you're really going to have to keep on reevaluating all your life, you know, your self-worth. You're going to come at points of your life where you're going to be like, oh, am I really worth this? Like, do I really deserve this? But at some point, I just realized that in the relationships that I had financially, you know, my entire life was just a mess. And that's why I decided to completely change my life. And I wanted to, I really started to reevaluate what I was worth and what my beliefs were, what my values were, and to really establish, you know, my self-worth at that point. So that's really what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Now I hear some sort of noise and I'm not sure where it's coming from. I just want us both to be aware of it. I'm not sure.
I don't hear any noise, actually.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, excellent. Okay. So now, so when you, like, you know, when I was growing up, Alexandria, I was quite some time ago, but I had issues of self-esteem and it really, it's very interesting because we all have issues regardless. I was in pageants and I was in beauty pageants and singing on stage and doing radio and doing TV when I was in high school. But I still had self-esteem issues. Isn't that amazing that no matter, you know, you think people are just perfect the way they are because they never really show their true colors a lot of times.
Yeah.
But I was very, very insecure when I was growing up in high school and felt very, very insecure about who I was, who, you know, what my purpose in life. I didn't even know such thing as that. I mean, there was not even talk about that back in when I was growing up in the 60s. Nobody talked about why you're born. I mean, it was, you know what? Well, I have to share this with you. When I was growing up in Arkansas, I would look up at the stars, and I wonder if you did the same thing. I would look up at the stars, Alexandra, and I'd say, wow, there are a lot of people in the world today, God. And yet, back 200 years ago, there weren't as many people. Where did they all come from? Where are they coming from? Or you have a holding ground up there, or all the stars, you know? Did you ever wonder about that yourself when you were in younger?
Yes, absolutely. I think that we all did. I don't know. Maybe
yeah.
You. But I think that we all really did, like a lot of questions, and it's good. It's good that we actually ask those questions because it makes us think and really think from where, like, where do we come from? Why are we here? And, you know, questions like that. So I think that anyone who spends a lot of time, you know, by themselves and really thinking about things like that, it's a good thing. It's going to be a thing that is really going to make them realize really what they're worth and things like that.
Well, you know what I think is so wonderful about, and any young people or parents that we have listening tonight that have kids that are going through a lot, in today's world, now depending on where you're coming from, in my world, there's a lot of spirituality. So I can't say that I live in a world that isn't spiritual. But in so many families and in so many school systems, spirituality is almost frowned upon. Now, what have you found in the school that you came from? Was it accepted, Alexandra, to be spiritual or talk about this kind of thing when you went to high school? Because that wasn't very long ago.
Yeah, when I went to high school, no, we never really talked about spirituality. And I remember back in high school, a lot of the kids who would say that they would go to church or were more like spiritual than other kids, not necessarily church, but, you know, any religion that they have, would be made fun of because they had this, like, spirituality. And I don't really understand why. And back then, I didn't really understand why either. But it was really like that with kids. I think that kids, you know, in high school, they try to, because of their own insecurities, you know, they find, you know, things to pick on others and to make fun of others and things like that. But I remember, that's the only thing I really remember about spirituality.
Right. Now, when you were in high school, just curious, because I find it very interesting in today's world as well, is that when you're religious, now, when I mean you're Baptist, Methodist, you know, Catholic, whatever, was that more accepted or was just religion completely taboo as well as spirituality in high school, at least
No, like I said, I think it was really taboo in high school. Yeah, people wouldn't talk about it, and kids who were, like I said, more spiritual and had like a religion were basically made fun of. I don't think maybe that was my own opinion. Maybe that's how I saw things, but that's how I saw things.
Right. Well, and I can understand that. It's now, you know, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, and I already know the answer to it, but I want to ask it anyway. And, you know, when you look at people and you wrote this book to help people and you work with teenagers, do you, because I know that you feel the same way I do, that people can change. Is that how you feel about life?
Yes, I think that people can change, but only if they want to change and if they choose to change. I talk about that in my book because I have I have three parts in my book and 13 chapters, and the last part is all about relationships. Mm-hmm. And you know, us women, we have this belief that we can change a man, but they're not going to change for you. You know, they're not going to change unless they decide to change and they choose to change. And I think that many times when someone chooses to change, it's because they somehow have like some kind of revelation and something big happens in their life that makes them realize really that it's time for them to change.
Right. Well, I totally agree with you. Now, you know, when you get to my age, Alexandria, and you date, it's very interesting because someone will come up and they'll say, well, I won't do that anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You've been doing this for 50 years, and all of a sudden you meet somebody, and you say you're not going to do it anymore. I know better. You know, I just know better. You know, it's not that they can't change. It's just that they're doing it not for themselves but for somebody else. And there's such, you know, you hit it on the head. As young as you are, you know that. No one changes unless it's for themselves, but it won't be permanent. I mean, they can change temporarily. But, you know, people that say, oh, I won't go drinking or I won't do drugs for you. But, you know, they're going to go right back to it when because they're not doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do it for yourselves. Now, on the first part of your book, you write about the creation of yourself. And I think that's a very interesting phenomena of how you create yourself, because that's exactly what we do. Now, tell me what you mean by taking the trash out. That's your chapter two. Take the trash out. I like that.
I think that when you are constantly surrounded by negativity and you're not satisfied with your life, I always say that it's time to take the trash out. You know, you have to reevaluate in your life what you have and the things that are basically trash in a way. You know, it can be people, it can be things, it can be, you know, negativity. Maybe it's mean to call people trash, but really people who are not bringing anything valuable into your life and who are just holding you back maybe from your dreams or goals or from becoming the person that you know you can be, you know, it's time to, you know, let them go and take the trash out, just, you know, letting them go.
Right.
That's what I mean by that.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because it's not about people being trash, and I know that, you know that, and I know our listeners know that. But what happens is it's not just people are all beautiful, it's our viewpoints that can get a little trashy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we let our viewpoints get trashy, then, you know, weird things can happen. But, you know, something else, too, I want to talk to you a little bit about. I don't know that you address it in the book, but when you're talking about that type of thing blossoming into a real woman, it's interesting to me about soul contracts, because when you're finding out who you are and you're still young, you know, have you ever looked at your soul contracts, Alexandria, to see what you're here on this earth to do?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have. And I'm very happy that I realized that at a very young age, I think. And yes, I do. I do, like, believe that I know why I'm on this earth for.
And that is a gift, it sounds like, that is the most needed for kids. You know, I watch, Alexandria, I watch kids in theater because my daughter does a lot of theater, or she's starting to do, I should say. She doesn't do a lot, but she's starting. And I watch those children or young people that have a purpose in their life, whether it's band or theater or music, something that they love. They tend to do better in their life, but the ones that are just like, I don't know why I'm here. My parents, you know, got a divorce, or I don't have but a mom, or I don't have but a dad, and I don't know why it's all worth it and all that. Those folks have a difficult time. How do you deal with people like that when you're working with them in high school, when you do your tours? How do you deal with those people that don't have a strong purpose? And not everyone does.
Yeah, I think that the people who... Well, first of all, there's a difference, you know, between people who have maybe not... I don't really believe that anyone doesn't have a strong purpose.
But that they know about. What I mean is that they know about it.
They don't know what their purpose is.
Yeah, everybody has a purpose, but some people don't know it. That's the part I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if someone doesn't know their purpose, I think that your purpose is going to come... Like, you're going to realize what your purpose is the moment that you have some kind of revelation. Like we were talking about when changing or anything like that. I think that you're going to... some kind of revelation in your life that's really going to make you realize, oh, this is my purpose and this is why I was brought into this world. And also it's by trying different things. I always encourage, you know, teenagers to maybe go take a class of dancing or even cooking or, you know, things like that, just to try different things. But I think it's really a process in finding what your purpose is. If you're trying to find it and if you're looking for what your purpose is, it's really a process. And I'm a life coach as well, so I coach. You know, people on things like that, because that's a very, very common question. Like, okay, so what is my purpose? How do I figure out what my purpose is?
Well, when people ask me that, and, you know, everyone has their own specific purpose, but I believe, Alexandria, that everyone has a purpose to be happy also. I feel that when we live on this planet Earth and we're not in peace and we're not having some joy within us, there's something off about understanding. And I think that we get so tied up with, oh my gosh, what is my purpose? Am I supposed to be an airplane pilot or a teacher? And I feel like it, and I love to talk to you about this, because I feel personally, through my years of experience, that purpose is more than just what you do or what you have in life. It's more about who you are and how you bring that uniqueness to the world. And if it brings you joy bringing that to the world, I tell you, you could be a teacher or you could be a gymnast or you could be, heaven knows what you could be, but it doesn't really matter what you are as long as you bring your uniqueness to the world. Yeah, I mean, that's, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring something to the world that wasn't there before you came.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even if it's a small thing, even if it's just, you know, changing someone's life, just a person, or just, you know, small things. It can be anything, but it's really bringing something that wasn't there before you came.
Yeah. I asked my little girl the other day, Alexander, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I asked her one day, I said, what is your purpose in life, sweetie? I ask her this, I ask her all the time, but this was recently, and she says, well, one of my purposes is to be happy. That's and nice. She says, and then she says, the other purposes I have is to bring healing to you and to people I meet, Mom. She says, I don't know how I do it, but I like to do that. And I was like, isn't that beautiful that a child that young knows already that, you know, she is supposed to bring
healing.
That kind of healing. And one day, Alexandria, she said, I was having not the best day in the world. And she says, well, Mom, I'll make you happy. And I said, you know what, Anya? I said, you can't make somebody else happy. I said, you can send them energy, you know, and send them love, but you can't make them happy.
It's true. That's
so,
true.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you deal with people like, you know, let's go to your the cover of a book matters. What does that mean? It was part of your book that you talk about.
That was actually one of the last chapters that I wrote. And the reason why I wrote it is because I was talking a lot about, you know, inside and how important it is to be happy inside and to be complete and things like that. But then I wrote also the chapter, the cover of the book matters, because I think that a lot of people are going to take that message of the whole, you know, it's the importance to be happy in the inside and completely forget about the outside. But the truth of the matter is that the outside is still important, because that's what you're showing to the world. That's really, your image. That's the first thing that people see. So whether you like it or not, it's still important, you know.
I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, we have to work on the inside of who we are. But honestly, our light will shine. And, you know, we have health issues, you know, people. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's kind of a little bit on the edge here, but we'll talk about it. And just only talk about the part that makes you feel comfortable. But there are a lot of shows now. You know, Hollywood used to be nothing but skinny people.
Oh, yeah.
Here in America, just skinny, skinny people. And now shows are becoming far more real, because we have all kinds of body types. I mean, there are body types, Alexandria, as you know, that you could eat nothing but grapes all day and you'd still have big hips or bigger hips than the norm, you know, that whoever that categorizes what the norm is. But I just would love to talk to you about that. How do you feel about some of the bigger, you know, they're letting a lot more non-skinny people on these shows, and I don't know if you listen to much in America, but there's so much criticism about, oh, they're unhealthy, or, you know, they should be this, or they should be that, and how do you deal with that type of situation when you talk to people?
I think honestly that a woman who has a lot of curves is beautiful. I honestly do, and I remember when I was back in high school, I was very skinny, and I wanted to have curves, like I wanted to be. I didn't like being skinny, and I think that a lot of people, you know, curvier girls are going to want to be skinny, and skinnier girls are going to want to be curvy, and it's always like that. But I think that it's great. It's great that they put all kind of different, you know, sorts of bodies basically on TV and anything like that. And I hate when people criticize something that someone can change, which is, you know, their shape of their body.
Yes.
That's how God made them, and that's, you know, that's how it is. So.
Well, I totally agree with you, because, you know, men typically are one-sized, or, you know, if they're a little large, nobody notices it. They don't make a big thing out of it. But when women, you know, get larger, then especially on a lot of these TV shows, you know, they get a lot of criticism on it. And the truth is that it's very harmful. And in school, now I have to tell you, we just saw here in Jasper, Georgia, where I live, we had the high school that put on Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And I'm telling you, they had women and men of all sizes, and they were all so truly gifted. It was such a joy to see, you know, people coming out, these young people being who they are, sharing their talent. And, you know, some parts require someone to be a little larger, and some parts require someone to be a little smaller. You almost lose the character if you don't have that wonderful change and vibrance in every single person. I think it's quite beautiful. Well, I mean, I know with my daughter, Alexandria, she's gone through many changes, and we talk about it, but I don't talk about size. I talk about health.
Yeah, because it's true. That's important. You know, like I said, I like women who are curvy, but in a way it's very important. And same thing for skinnier women. They have to, you know, you have to be healthy. You have to be at a good, you know, weight, basically.
Right, yes. Well, now, on the second part of your book, you talk about the key to success. Now, what do you consider, not necessarily what's in the book, but basically, what do you consider successful? What is success to you, Alexandria?
Successful is, I think, a person who, like we were talking before, lives within their purpose. No matter, it's not about money. It's not about how much money you make. It's really about what you're doing and how well you're doing it. That's what I think success is.
I like that. I really do, because there are so many signs when you go to the doctor's office and all these different beautiful messages that say, what is success? And people have written beautiful quotes on it. But even if one changes, you know, with your book, if Beyond Beauty changes the life of 10 girls in the world, then that is success.
That's what I wasn't expecting the book to be, you know, sold like a million copies. I really wasn't expecting that. It was just, it's just, you know, about being, you know, read by a few young girls, especially, and that it can change them. So my expectations were just that.
Well, I want to share something with you because I'm an author as well. I have my third book is coming out. My second book is almost finished editing. And when I was writing them, I was not, for there were moments now, I have to tell you, there were moments where I felt this, but overall, I was like, I don't know who's going to read this book. I have no idea why I'm writing it, but I know I'm supposed to write it, and I'm writing it. And then I listened to a beautiful message, and honestly, right now, I can't remember the name of it, but it was by Wayne Dyer. He did a wonderful DVD, and it was like he was making a film, but he really was. It was actually, he was giving a message at the same time he was making the film. And he was talking about that when you go to write your book or do your project or whatever, it isn't about how many people are going to read it. It's about getting your message the best that you can, write it because your heart says to write it, and the rest will follow. Of course, we have to advertise, and but when you're writing it, you know, did you ever get those feelings like, well, I wonder who's going to read it, or, you know, did you ever get into any of those thoughts when you were writing your book?
Yeah, I remember when I was, because I wrote it in like 9 months, something like that. I think that you as an author, you're also going to understand that there's, you know, times when you are so exhausted, when you're just writing and writing, and it's like 4 a.m. and you still have to write because you have, you know, your deadlines to send it to the editor and things like that. And many times I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? But after that, I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do, and, you know, I'm going to do it.
Right. So, well, that's wonderful. And I did the same thing. I mean, the person that's working with me, I have two different editors or Create Spaces on one, and Balboa Press is on the other. But it's very interesting because they would send me an editorial back and they'd say, well, this need, you know, I'll change this. And sometimes I got so exhausted, I'm like, well, does this ever not have a mistake in it?
Yeah.
Will there ever be a time when this book does not have a mistake? And the editor guy wrote, you know, had the kindness in his heart. He said, you know, Vicki, the top of the line books, you can always find an error in them. There will be some that maybe you should have been a comma and it's a, you know, period or whatever. There's always something there, you know. And I just want to remind everybody, if you do want to call in and talk to Alexandria, if you want a real quick reading, just feel free to call in, talk to us, and share your thoughts on all of this. So especially if you're a parent and you have a child or a young person that has self-esteem issues, this sounds like a very good book that would help them to realize that it isn't just about, it is a combination. You know, we're a whole being here on this earth. And I know, Alexandria, that's what you're saying. We're encased in a body, but that body is who we are. It's a part of who we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to be success, you want to dress successfully. You want to show that you're success in your way, though. It doesn't have to be in the other person's way.
Exactly.
So now how did you change with that? I mean, how did you turn your dreams into reality?
Wow, that's a good question. How did I turn my... Well, I have many dreams, and I still haven't realized all of my dreams to start. But how... Well, the dreams that I had, how did I turn them into reality? I think that it's really about commitment. And I talk about that in my high school tour. It's all about really commitment, focus, and determination. And it's really about that. That's the only thing. It's really about you have no other choice but to make that happen. It's like you cut off all the other options. And you just say, this is my only option, and I'm going to make it happen. And it's really about that.
Well, I want to share, I want to talk a little bit about these little machines, these DSs and all this. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'd love to get your opinion on it. I, with my 11-year-old daughter, she likes to play that DS a lot, and she doesn't play her guitar and her piano as much. And I said, you know, one day, Anya, I know you're only 11, but there are kids out there that are playing guitar beautifully. And I said, it isn't about them versus you, but you love to play the guitar and you love to sing. And one day you're going to want to get out there and perform. But I said, you won't be able to do that if all you do is your DS. But I said, it's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really had to put it, self-empower her, because, you know, these kids today, and I'm sure you're one of them, Alexandria. Matter of fact, let me look at your aura. You have a lot of gold in your aura. and you have a lot of indigo. So you're probably an indigo child, if not a rainbow child. And see, my daughter's an indigo rainbow child, and they tend to want to be, you know, I'm sure you're like this too. You want to do it your way, and you don't want people telling you what to do. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, these kids today, you tell them to play the guitar or play the guitar, you know, the piano, because it's good for them. I mean, they'll look at you like, well, whatever. But how would you deal with a young person who tends to want to play the DS a lot, but doesn't really? And then we have a caller from New York. I want to make sure we take Lloyd. We'll be with you just briefly. Yeah. So how would you deal with that if you had a younger sister or something or brother that wanted to play the DS and was not focused on really sharing who they really are?
That's a good question, because I don't have any brothers and sisters, so I don't,
right.
I don't really know. But I think that, like you said, it's really her choice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's her choice, so you can't really do anything about it. But I really think that it would be about just talking to her more and, you know, trying to empower her, like you said, her, let her know that, look, this is your future. This is what you want to do in the future. What is it going to bring you? Like, what are you trying to accomplish by playing, you know, with your DS? That's not going to bring you anything in the future.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you, example, play guitar or piano, that's maybe going to bring you something much better in the future.
Yeah, lots of joy. Lots of joy. Let's see. Now, we have a caller from New York. Is it Lloyd?
Yes, it is.
How are you, Lloyd?
I'm fine. How are you, gentle ladies, this evening?
Well, we gentle ladies are doing pretty good. one of us gentle ladies is up in Canada, and the other one's way down in Georgia. So did you have a thought that you wanted to share with us, or did you want to tell me what your request is this evening, Lloyd?
I kind of wanted a reading. I'm at a position in my life where I have there's a lot of potential and there's a lot of opportunity, you know, all around me. And I feel like perhaps maybe I'm not focused enough. I mean, I have some things I want to do. I'm writing a book. I'm doing so many things, and I feel like I'm not crystallizing something properly. And maybe she can sense something. I don't want to kind of give it away. I wanted to kind of feel from her spirit.
Well, I don't know now. Let me just share something. I don't know that Alexandria wants to give a reading. I will give you a brief mini reading. But Alexandria, maybe you can guide him just from your own intuition. Do you feel comfortable on like how you worked through your book to make it happen?
First of all, of course, I don't do readings, but...
Yeah, I know.
But if you still feel like you want to do it, just do it. If it feels right, then it's right.
I agree with that.
That's pretty awesome, what you just said.
I agree with that. I mean, but sometimes... there's like two open doors. You know how they do on Price is Right. They'll say, okay, you can go to a door number. Let's make a deal. You want to go to door number one, door number two, or door number three. All three of them may have good items.
Right.
But there's one that's just for you.
Lloyd, when's your birthday?
April 16th.
April 16. I'll tell you what I'm doing right now, Alexandria. I'm going to do just a tarot on Mr. Lloyd and just, you know, kind of see what's going on here, because this is you're leaving a very interesting part of your life right now. It's a very art. I can see why you had so much creativity last year, Lloyd. And if I have time to do this for you, I will, Alexandra, because you we're in a very artsy kind of created time period right now. Okay, coming up for you is very interesting, because you're kind of almost feeling. One of the things that's going on with right now is you're feeling so, you're going to start to feel very happy and feel like you're, you know, playing a little bit more. And my message for you tonight is very much what Alexandra, even though she doesn't do readings. What of all the things, you did very well, Alexandra, of all the things that you did, that you do, Lloyd, what I would like you to do, and this is more like life coaching than anything, But just find all the six or seven, you know, items that you have been doing. Find out what brings you joy and do that. Because, listen, you have a lot of talent. I can feel that in you. And we don't necessarily have to do everything that we have talent in.
Exactly.
Because so many people have so much talent. Listen, I'm a singer. I'm an actress. My gosh, I'm a lawyer. I do spiritual readings. If I did all of that, I'd be exhausted.
Right.
Oh, my
gosh,
I wouldn't
be able to. The example of let's make a deal with three doors.
Yes.
Because you can do all three, but only one of them is really the one that's going to take you where your soul wants to be.
Bring, you give me four items, and we're going to, both of us, Alexandra and I, are going to have, we're going to work with you on this. Because she's a life coach, too. You have four items that you've been working on. One of them's your book. What else
one
have you been working
on? One of them's my book. Another one is I've been working on some consulting work in the oil business.
Okay. All right. What's something else you've been doing?
Consulting work with the banking industry.
Okay. What else?
And, then I'm working a 9-to-5.
Oh, my goodness. You are really stretching the hours. Okay. Now, I'm gonna share something about the book, and I'm sure Alexandria will say something. The book right now almost has to be a sort of a hobby, because if you're not making a living off of it, do it with joy. You know, make sure you're doing it with joy. Now, I want to ask you, and the 9-to-5, I get that feeling like, oh, this brings in the money, so I got to do it. But you know what? Sometimes we got to have money, because we can't get a book published if we don't have money. So what I would do, my message for you is to prioritize, find out while you're doing this 9-to-5 job, what you in the consulting, which one brings you the most happiness? Work on the book a little bit each day or each week. Prioritize your life, and you will start to unfold everything that means something to you. It will start to unfold. And that book, all of a sudden, you'll have enough money to get it published, because what's the book if you don't get it published? And I want you to do something. This is my message for you tonight. And Alexandria, if you have a message for him, let me know, because we're going to spend time alone, Mr. Lloyd from New York, and meditate upon what you really desire and manifest
it. That's good, because I do that, yes.
Yes. And, you know, Alexandria, share something from your book about something that might help him, too, because there's something in your book I feel that, you know, can help him with that.
Well, first, I think that take a look at all the things you named and think to yourself, what if God told you this is, you have to choose only one thing, what would it be out of all the things that you're doing right now? What would that thing be? And that's going to be your priority. Then you're going to know from there that this is going to be my priority, and these are the other things that I have to do on the side. And I think you should also, very important, have a timeline for the book. Like, when exactly does the book have to be finished? Because if you don't have a timeline, it's just going to continue, and, you know, you're never going to finish it. So that's very important. That's the two main things that you should do.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen, Lloyd, we want to thank you for calling in. All right? Hello?
Thank you very much, Victoria.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
And Jerry from Miami went away. So, Jerry, we're sorry we missed you, and hopefully you'll get to call in later or next week on the Ask Spirit Now show. We have Billy from New Orleans on New Orleans, Louisiana. How are you, Billy?
Hi, how are you?
I'm just doing fine.
I have a question for Alexandria, please.
All right, Alexandra, this question is for you.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very calling
good because I have. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I have a question about just interacting with women. I don't know if you have advice that you can give me with trying to find a significant woman in my life. It's very difficult for me, and I wasn't sure if I'm going about it the right way, or, you know, I go to clubs and, you know, I go party and I drink and smoke and, you know, things like that. I'm not sure if I'm doing the right things as far as, you know, what advice can you give me as far as meeting a nice young lady?
Well, what kind of woman are you looking for?
Just a nice, wholesome Christian woman.
Okay. Do you think that you're going to find a nice, wholesome Christian woman in a club or at a party?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where else I can go.
Well, what about church? Or what about, I don't know, the supermarket? Any place that I can guarantee you that you're not going to find the kind of woman that you're looking for at a club or at a party. That's just not going to happen. If you want a queen, you have to go look for her at the castle, right? So don't go, any
other... Makes sense, because I'm a king. Because I believe I'm a king. That makes a lot of sense.
So you have to find a queen.
So any other advice as far as, how to speak to them or romantic or flowers? Or I just struggle with things sometimes. I've been single for about 6-7 years now, so...
Okay. Well, I think that it's really, once you're going to find her, that's when you can start, being romantic. And it's really going to depend on the woman that you're going to find, because once you get to know her, that's when you're going to know what she's looking for. And depending on what she's looking for, that's when you're really going to know if, she likes, a man that's romantic and then brings her flowers, that brings her to places and things like that. But it's really going to depend on a woman, because not every woman are the same.
That's true.
Oh,
and Billy, I want to share something with you too, because, when she was talking about, you're going to attract the law of attraction. Are you aware of the law of attraction?
No.
Well, we attract, like attracts like. And if you go to bars, you're going to find women that drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to set your sights higher. I want you to really increase your standards of what you want, and don't expect or don't settle for less. In other words, if you really want a Christian woman, there's also, now I don't know a lot about this, but if you want to go on an online dating, but go to a Christian online dating site.
Wow,
I'm
really?
Sure there must, there's online Christian dating sites. And I would imagine, I can't speak now from experience, but I would imagine that if they say they're Christian, doesn't mean they're perfect. Keep your boundaries in.
Yeah.
Just because somebody's Christian doesn't mean that they're not going to have issues. We all have issues. So don't think just because somebody's Christian.
Not
no, and nobody is, Billy. Nobody is. Okay. And so... And I think that's what Alexandria in her book, and that's what I strive to work with. Nobody's perfect, but if you're looking for a Christian woman, at least get someone who has your same ideals and go to either a church to meet them or go online to a Christian web dating site that works with Christian people. Like attracts like. I'm not saying you won't find a Christian in a bar, but if you're not looking for a heavy drinker or someone that's going to drink with you, then that's not the right place. Alexandria, even though she says she's not a reader, she's very good at it. So,
sounds like it. What's the name of her book, by the way?
Okay, it's called Beyond Beauty.
Yeah.
And the Ultimate Guide to, and then something happened on my, tell me the Ultimate Guide
to Becoming a Strong, Smart, and Beautiful Woman.
So, why don't you, you might...
Can men get that book, or...?
Well, of course men can buy it. I'll tell you how you buy it. There are two ways you can go to this. Can you just, do you just buy it at your website, Alexandria, or do you go to Amazon.com? How do you sell your book?
Yeah, it's available at Amazon.com, but it's also available on my website, AlexandriaViajuel.com. Very soon I'm going to start doing book signing events at Chapters. Here in Canada, so it's going to be available there too, but I don't think it's going to be available in New Orleans for now. So.
But you can come to Canada.
Okay.
I mean, Billy, it's not that far. So,
it's just a plan,
I hope we have been some help for you.
Yes, you have. Thank you so much, Alexandria. I love it. Thank you. I love all your work that you do. You're such a bright and beautiful woman. I appreciate all that you assisted me with. And I'm definitely going to look for, love in different places. So I appreciate both you ladies.
Well, thank you. And we appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
Right.
So it's very interesting that when Alexandria, that there's a couple other questions I want to get, because we just have about 7 more minutes. I want to ask you, because this is kind of intriguing to me. In your last part of your book, you talk about put a ring on that finger. What is that about? What does that mean?
Well, it's the most common question that I receive, and the question is, how do I get my man to commit? Like, how do I get him to marry me? So I talk about that in that chapter, about really how to get your man to commit. And it's like I say in the chapter, there's not really any magic formula, but I think it's really about, how can I say this without saying everything is going to be in the chapter, but it's really about being the best woman that you can be and really being the woman that he wants. But yeah, that's basically what it is. But of course, there's more. There's a whole chapter about that.
Well, you know, it's very true, because if we as women and men are ourselves, we will, like attracts like, the law of attraction. This goes out for you, Billy. We will attract the right person for us at the right time. The soul contract will provide that. Yet if we don't like drinking and we go and try to find someone in a bar, then when they start drinking in the marriage and we get mad at them, why are you drinking?
Exactly.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I met you in the bar. You knew I drink. Well, I don't really like it. I just was there to find somebody. And so what happens is, and this is what's so wonderful about like attracts like, if you want a spiritual person, be spiritual.
Absolutely.
If you want an honest person, be honest.
Yeah.
If you want a drinker to drink with you, then that's fine, too. You know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Alexandra?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's really important to you to have a glass of wine every night, and you want somebody to drink it, then don't go find yourself a vegan who doesn't believe in drinking alcohol. I'm telling you, if we just were honest with ourselves up front, and this is what is so, I think, wonderful about your book, be honest with yourself. Isn't that what you're basically saying?
Mm-hmm. Of course. You have to really know who you are before you go out there trying to, you know, to find someone else. You have to be comfortable about who you are. And like you're saying, really, the person that you're with is a reflection of who you are. And I really believe in that.
Mm-hmm. There are some wonderful comments about it, and I don't listen a lot on TV, but I have listened to some wonderful people talk about this, Alexandria, because what happens is we tend to be a certain way to find someone, or we have to be perfect, we have to be this way, because if we're not, and oh my gosh, what if we were ourselves, Alexandria? What would happen? You know, they might not like us, and you know what I say to that? Hallelujah. Because you have just, now I'm giving you advice on this because you're so young, but if you can be yourself early on in a relationship, and if it doesn't work out, do you realize the years of suffering that you have just avoided?
Yes, absolutely. And you're absolutely right, yes. You really have, from the beginning of the relationship, you have to let the person know who you are and be clear about who you are so that, you know, later on in the relationship, there's no surprise or things like that.
That's exactly right. So now there are a couple of comments I need to make before. We've got just a few more minutes on the show, and I just want to share something with everyone who's listening. I'm going to be doing a a past life regression and soul contracts with Tari Abbott tomorrow, and I want to give you the phone number. You can go to my Ask Spirit Now .com website also, but it's a 308-344-6400, and you press in the code is 918-787 pound. And I want to invite all the listeners tonight to tune in. If you forget those numbers, just again go to my website at AskSpiritNow.com and you can get the data. We're going to be doing just some information on past life regressions and how they affect our lives now, our soul contracts, our relationships, just everything. So I certainly want to invite you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 6 o'clock, to join in on our lively conversation about this with the Tari Abbott. It's not really a show. It's just that she has a live webcam that she does. So we'll be certainly hope that you can. And you can join in as well, Alexandria, if you have an interest in any of that. So now, is there anything you would like to share with the listeners out there about anything else about your book?
Well, I think that we talked about everything.
Yeah, we did.
Everything. Yes, we went through every point. But no, that's really what it is. What's said?
Well, I want to commend you on working with young people because the our lives, the society that we're in right now can be changed for the better by working with people so that their self-esteem early on is enhanced. Do you realize what that does for people, Alexandria? It keeps them from going into wrong relationships, wrong marriages. Oh my goodness. I mean, it's a phenomenon that when people start out young with a better self-image. Now, what are your plans? What do you do? I know you do life coaching. What else are you planning next for you?
Well, I have a lot of plans. Of course, I'm working on the high school tour, so I go to different high schools here in Montreal to speak to the youth, basically. That's basically motivational speaking that I do. There's a book. I am planning on writing other books in the future.
Good.
Out. Yes.
Yes.
And that's really what I'm doing. I would also love to have a radio show. Like,
oh, good.
Yes, that's something that I would love to do. And it's good. Yeah, it's really I think it's really about anyone who I think is starting their own business or things like that. They all want to like build an empire, if I can say.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Really,
well,
building an empire, and that's really what it is. That's what I'm working on.
One step at a time. Well, I want to thank all of you listeners this evening. I want to thank all those who have called in and those that were not able to call in. I just want to thank you for listening in. And Alexandria, I want to thank you for being such a wonderful guest. Good luck to your Beyond Beauty book. And I want to just remind everyone to ask Spirit now. Know that your spirit guides and angels and master teachers are with you. Have a blessed, blessed week. And be sure and visit Ask Spirit Now again next Monday night at 9 Eastern and 6 o'clock Pacific. Thanks again, Alexandria. We got to say good night. So.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
And thank you, too.